The reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22 and then going on to chapter 4. And it's headed, Living as Those Made Alive in Christ, and can be found on page 1119. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Those who do wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Andy King. I work for Young Life in Hartford, and I've been doing that for 2 years now. And it's exciting. It's great work, and I'm really enjoying the opportunity to work amongst or continue. I've been working amongst young people for around 20 years of my life, and I love doing that. I love the work that God has put me in and the place that he's put me in. And so we're carrying on a series looking at missional discipleship. And today, the title is Making Good Work. Now, I'm conscious that as I stand in front of you, what work looks like for each one of us is going to be very different. In fact, even as Andrew gave his children's talk, and we wondered what we were going to be doing on Monday morning. There's such a huge variety, isn't there, in terms of what work looks like for each one of us. So I want to ask for you to forgive me if I start talking about work in such a way that feels like it's excluding you. I'm not trying to do that. I recognize that we have different places of work and we work in different ways. But I also feel that that God honors the work that we give and the opportunity that we have to serve in this world as we are serving God. I also want to say that what I feel is really important, I know this has been said already as we've covered this series, is to gain a broad perspective of missional discipleship and what that looks like. And it's important to be reminded of that. So whether you've heard any of this series or not, or wherever you're coming from, to get an idea of what missional discipleship is. It's a strange phrase in many senses. It's a really important thing. So I want to go back to someone called Alan Hirsch. You might have heard of him. Andrew's a big advocate of his. I'm only using a quote from him in the hope that I'll get to preach again sometime. Alan Hirsch is very big on this whole thing of discipleship and missional discipleship. And he says this. He says missional discipleship is to involve ourselves as God's people in the eternal purposes of God in this world to redeem it to himself. Let me repeat that, because there's a lot in there, and I'll try and unpack a little bit of it. But it's to involve ourselves as God's people in the eternal purposes of God in this world to redeem it to himself. Okay, that is missional discipleship. The thing I struggle with slightly is, actually, that is discipleship. But the problem is that over the last 2,000 years, the church has kind of pulled us away from what real discipleship is. So discipleship has become doing a Bible study or sitting down together in a group to pray, to build one another up. Now that's obviously really important, and that's key and crucial in how we live lives as Christians and how we are discipled. But it's just part of the picture. Missional discipleship is the whole picture of discipleship. It's the whole thing. It's putting it all into perspective. And I'm going to use that word a lot, the whole thing about perspective, because I think that is key and that is crucial in our understanding of how God uses us in our places of work, in the places where we operate, where we work. You see, part of God's plan, not part of God's plan, his plan is what we call redemptive. It's about redeeming, it's about saving the world. It's about bringing it back to how God had originally planned it. The redemption of the world is part of God's eternal plan. It's not just about our personal transformation. I think sometimes we can look at being saved or redemption or whatever phrase we want to use as being something that God does for me or God does for you. But actually, to be redeemed, God's redemption plan is for the whole world. The most well-known verse in the Bible and the most overused verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the whole world. God's plan isn't just, although obviously part of it is, it isn't just to save you and to save me. It's the saving of the whole world. It's the redemption of the whole world. And missional discipleship is about us saying, I choose to be a part of that plan. I choose to be a part of God's redemptive plan in our world. I choose to live life differently. When I go to work, I choose to be different because actually my perspective has now changed. I'm not living like the world lives. I'm living how God wants me to live. And hopefully for most of us in this room, we hear those words and we think, yeah, that's great, that's brilliant. And you're agreeing with me, hopefully, to some degree. But are we actually doing that? In our places of work, in the places where we operate, do we live radically? Are we living differently from the rest of the world? Do we stand out as someone who lives life in a different way? Who doesn't follow the ways that the world lives and wants us to live, but is following a different path, a God-given path? Do people look at us and ask, what's different about them? Why are they so different? Why do they do things differently? You know, I think radical living, when I look at the life of Jesus, radical living isn't just about people saying, wow, that's different kind of living. Some people might look at you and say, I really don't like that. Or that's ridiculous. Why are they living life like that? That's craziness. Because that's what people did to Jesus. You know, you look at Jesus' life, he had some people who followed him everywhere he went. And you had some people who wanted to kill him. Being a radical disciple, being a missional disciple in the workplace is about having people, about splitting people's opinions of you. Some people will look at the way you live your life and say, I want some of that. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's different from the rest of the world. And other people will hate it. But are we actually living like that? So much of it is about, I believe, about perspective. Well, I lost this just earlier. I'm very thankful for Steve for finding it for me again. So much of it is about perspective. Many of you know that myself and my family, we went to live in Ethiopia for a year. And for those of you in here who are 40 and above, you have probably a particular idea or picture of Ethiopia and what it looks like. Hopefully it's changed a little bit. If you've heard our story somewhat, that will have changed a bit if you've been listening to what we've said. But it might look something like this. Your picture of Ethiopia might be a bit of a dry desert wasteland, you know, with people who are starving, with people who are dependent, with people who can't cope, who don't have much hope, who need the West to kind of come in and give and make a difference. Otherwise, they're not going to survive. Otherwise, people are just not going to be able to keep on going. Well, I want to tell you, I lived in Ethiopia for years, you know, and it's not like that. Ethiopia does not look like the pictures that are seen from the mid-80s with Bob Geldof wandering around who did a great job, but hoping to give a little bit of life to some starving children. Actually, if you go outside of Addis, where we lived for most of our time there, it looks a little bit like this. That's Ethiopia. That's my picture of Ethiopia in... that's how I imagine Ethiopia when I think of it. It's green, it's lush, it's beautiful, it's full of life. It's full of people who are very independent. It's full of people who love life to the full, who don't rely on us in the West in any way, who are coping and doing a brilliant job of it as well. So you see, a lot of what we think about when we think about life is we think about it from a particular perspective. And when we think about being missional disciples, we are looking at it from a different perspective. We're looking at it from a godly perspective rather than a worldly one. And life, as we go through life, we can often be dragged into this kind of worldly way of doing life. Like work is about going out there to earn some money so that we can do well for ourselves where we're living and survive in the place in beautiful Hartford where we want to all live and stay and belong and actually make our way in life so that we can earn a bit more money so that we can, because money makes us happy, although we know it doesn't, but yet still the world tells us that and feeds us that idea. So we keep working hard because we want to please our boss, because we want to make everyone happy. Well, that's kind of a very worldly perspective that is so easy to kind of be dragged into, that's the way we should do life. But actually God says, I've got a bigger plan. God has a redemptive plan which is redeeming the whole world back to himself. And so the perspective we should be looking at life from and work from is a big plan perspective that God has over all mankind, over everyone. The question is, are we really standing out and making a difference? I love the interview with Helen and Helen's response, or Helen's one thing of opportunity was to be a witness. I would love us all to be thinking out, you know, when we wake up in the morning, Monday morning, the one thing we want to do at work, the one thing we want to do at work is reach our colleagues for Christ. Have an opportunity to share with them something of our faith, or our next door neighbour, or the person we meet at the coffee shop, or the people that we walk into town with, or the family that we're going to see that day. That's our one. That's the thing that drives us. That's the thing that gets us up in the morning. Not because we know we're going to earn some more money, or not even because we know we're going to meet some good friends of ours, but actually because God has a bigger plan. There's a bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. You see, when Jesus came into the world, he came in with an agenda. Jesus came because there was a plan. It wasn't like a plan B that God had and suddenly thought, wow, now things have gone really bad and things have gone wrong, so now we're going to have to do things a bit differently and I've got to redeem everything back to myself. God's plan was already there in place. That's already what God was doing. And Jesus came with that agenda. And what did Jesus do? When you look at Jesus' life, he took a bunch of dropouts, a bunch of losers, some fishermen, a tax collector, you know, some people who, from society's perspective, weren't really worth much. They weren't great. And in 3 years, he turned them into world beaters. You see, Jesus didn't do things the way the rest of the world did. Jesus didn't look on the world and go, okay, that's how everyone else is doing it, so I'm just going to kind of follow that path. Jesus had a missional perspective. Jesus had a perspective which was so much bigger and so much greater. And some people thought that was crazy. Some people thought that was ridiculous. But when Jesus came into the world, he came to redeem all of it to himself. One of my first memory verses is in that passage that we read there. One of the first ones I learned as a child. You might think it's a strange one to learn as a child. Colossians 3:23, if you've got your Bibles open. That was one of my first memory verses. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord and not for men. You see, this is a perspective thing. This is about God saying, actually, that there's a bigger thing going on. We're here to work for God. Because God's missional plan, God's redemptive plan, is so much bigger and greater than man's plans. Than what your boss's plans are. Than what the person that you're going to meet with, their plans. God's plans are bigger than that. I've shared this story before, but it's relevant and it's short, so I'll share it again. When I used to go into London, I used to go into college, and on a Mondays, that was my Monday thing. I would get the train and get the underground through central London, and I used to get really frustrated, like probably most commuters, as you go through on the underground, where you're standing there. On the tube, and you're there with hundreds and thousands of other people. Not one person talks to another. They read the newspaper, or nowadays they don't actually read the newspaper. They've got their iPhones, and they're listening to music or watching a movie or doing something completely to distract them from anyone else. So they're not focused on anyone else there at all, and it's almost robotic, isn't it? Just kind of going on, doing their thing. And do you know what I want to do, which I would never, ever do, because it's not something that I could possibly do? I want to shout out, wake up! You're missing what's going on in this world. You know, you're wandering through, you're doing your job, you're going backwards and forwards from work to earn money for what? You see, the plans of man are actually so futile. And yet God has this bigger plan, this saving plan for every single one of those people on the underground, for every one of those people that you meet up with. There's a passage which has been really challenging me recently, which I want to draw our attention to, that does link. And so if you've got Bibles there, I want you to open up to Mark chapter 14. And it's Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. And I love this passage, so it will be familiar to most of you because you will have heard this. This is just moments before Jesus is arrested. And Jesus has brought the disciples to his favourite place. In fact, I'm going to do this because I said I would do this. I went to Israel earlier on in the year, and I went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so here, this is my photo of the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in a second. But I'm going to read from these verses. So from verse 32 of Mark chapter 14, it says this. Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane. Sorry, they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to the disciples and he found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And the reason why I use that passage is because I think Jesus, throughout his ministry, throughout his time with his disciples, was teaching the disciples about how to be missional disciples, right? He didn't sit down and just go through scriptures and do a Bible study. Jesus showed them how to be missional disciples, how to have a bigger perspective, how to recognize that something greater was going on in the world. You see, when I've read that passage, this is, as I say, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. It took me a whole 2 minutes to walk around the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the size of it. So to give you a bit of perspective, it could have been big. It could actually have been bigger. We don't know for sure that that's exactly the location or is exactly the size of the Garden of Gethsemane, but it wasn't big. Okay, and Jesus takes away the disciples, so 11 of them with him at this point, and he takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane. You imagine 12 of them in this garden. Jesus sets them down somewhere and he takes just Peter, James and John. They walk a little bit further. So they're not walking far away, right? They're still really quite close by. Peter and James and John wait there while Jesus goes a little further still. They're still in view of one another. The disciples can see Jesus. He's just over there. And I always used to struggle with this passage because I thought, well, come on, Jesus. You're giving the disciples a hard time. They've had a really tough day. It's been crazy and it's been exhausting. Jesus has done some amazing things, right? They've got a lot to process. They're wiped out. They're tired. Of course they're feeling sleepy, right? But Jesus' whole point is there's something bigger going on. I don't know about you. If you've had a really long day, you're exhausted, but you know that evening you're going out to a concert or you're going to go out and have a great meal with some really good friends. Somehow, because it's really important to you, because it's really significant and you're really looking forward to it, you get that energy. Yeah, and you kind of work through that. You think, oh, I'm feeling tired, but it's okay because there's something bigger going on. There's something more important that I really need to be at or I really want to be involved with. You see, Jesus' point here is there is a bigger perspective, a bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. You need to stay awake. Don't sleep. Don't miss this. Don't miss this moment. You see, God is doing a great thing in the world. God is doing a great thing amongst his people. God was doing a great thing right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was a missional moment. It was a moment for the disciples to look upon and think, wow, this is life-changing right here. This is a key point in history. And Jesus wanted them to be ready for it. Jesus actually wanted them to keep their gaze on him. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. What's he doing? I wonder if the first thing we need to do is wake up. I wonder if when we go into work, we need to just be awake. Obviously not physically. I mean, I'm hoping when you go to work, you're actually physically awake. But waking up to what God is doing in the world. Waking up to the fact that there is something bigger going on. It's not just about going there to earn some money or going there to do a particular job. When you go to work, when you do your job in the day, you're a part, you're choosing as a Christian, as a missional disciple, you're choosing to be a part of God's bigger plan. You're choosing to have an impact on the world as God wants it. And that might mean that some of the things we do or say or the way we live our lives might be so radically different that it turns people off of us. But actually we choose to do it because that's God's calling on our lives. That's where God wants us to be. God wants us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to be looking to him, to not miss that moment of what God is doing in our world, in our lives. I just want to leave you with a couple of questions. Try to. Here we go. So I want us to finish on this because I want us to give us a chance to first of all think, okay, I need to wake up. That might be where you're at right now. You might be just thinking, that I just need to be awake when I go to work, awake to what God is doing. But there also might be something else where God is challenging you, perhaps through something that I've said or shared this morning. How do I view my place of work or the arena where I spend most of my time? Do I view that as a missional opportunity? Do I view that as a place where God is giving me a chance to reach a whole load of people that no one else can reach because there aren't any other Christians here, or because there's no one outspoken about their faith? Do I see it as a missional opportunity? Do I have a God-centered perspective? Is my perspective on the place where I am, the place where I work, is that where God wants it to be? I'm going to pray and give... what I'd like is, just if we leave that slide up for a moment before we sing. I've no idea what we're singing next. Should I just hand it back over to you, Andrew? I'm going to hand over to Andrew after I've prayed, and then we'll go on from there. But as we pray in that last song, it would be great for you, if you're feeling challenged, to ask God to help you in that. Ask God to wake you up. Ask God to change your mindset so that you're thinking missionally. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your redemptive plan. I thank you, Lord God, that you didn't just leave us in our sinfulness, in our errors, in our failings, but you loved us so much that you had a plan for us to bring us back to you. And not just for us in this room, but for this whole world. Lord, we choose to be a part of your plan. Lord, we choose to get involved in the work, the missional work that you are doing in this world. We ask, Lord God, that you would wake us up. You would give us a perspective which is centered around you so that we might understand and make an impact, however difficult or challenging that might be. Lord, change us into people who can have an impact for you so that we can give glory to you for what you are doing. Amen.